place close to Varsana, close to Nandagon. Therefore, it's a natural place where Radha and Krishna perform pastime. Krishna was known to sit in the Kadamba Keli, in the Kadamba trees, looking out for his cows. And Krishna would call the cows and count them. It was here that Krishna had his japamala, and which was made of gemstones and crystals. And Krishna was chanting on his 108 beats, his 108, calling the names of his 108 leading cows, who all had different appearances. Some were white, some were reddish, some were known as Mardanga Mukhi, which means Mardanga face. So like this, different herds of cows would come as Krishna would call the name of their leader, and in that way Krishna performed his pastimes here. Srila Rupa Goswami spent substantial time here, performed his bhajan here. So in that way, this is an important place. Especially because Srila Rupa Goswami would spend time here to write his Bhakti Rasamrita Singh, which Srila Prabhupada translated as the Nectar of Devotion. We were just about to open it up. Nectar of Devotion, first chapter, Characteristics of Pure Devotional Service. In Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, 29th chapter, verses 12 and 13, Srila Kapiladev, while instructing his mother, has given the following characteristics of pure devotional service. My dear mother, those who are my pure devotees and who have no desire for material benefit or philosophical speculation have their minds so much engaged in my service that they're never interested in asking me for anything except to be engaged in that service. They do not even beg to live in my abode with me. There are five kinds of liberation, namely, to become one with the Lord, to live with the Supreme Lord on the same planet, to have the same features as the Lord, to enjoy the same opulences as the Lord, and to live as a companion of the Lord. A devotee, what to speak of rejecting material sense gratification, does not even want any of the five kinds of liberation. He is satisfied simply by discharging loving service to the Lord. That is the characteristic of pure devotion. In the above statement by Kapiladev from Srimad Bhagavatam, the actual position of a pure devotee is described, and the primary characteristics of devotional service are also defined. Further characteristics of devotional service are described by Rupa Goswami with evidences from different scriptures. He states that there are six characteristics of pure devotional service, which are as follows. Pure devotional service brings immediate relief from all kinds of material distress. Pure devotional service is the beginning of all auspiciousness. Pure devotional service automatically puts one in transcendental pleasure. Pure devotional service is rarely achieved. Those in pure devotional service deride even the conception of liberation. Pure devotional service is the only means to attract Krishna. So devotional service, pure devotional service, is described as kleshagni. Klesh is suffering. So all types of material suffering are destroyed by devotional service. It is explained that that suffering is due to previous karma. So previous karma may exist in different forms. It may exist in the form of fruits that we are facing now. It can be an accident, or it can be a nose which is too big. It can be bad health. It can be being half blind, having to look at the world through little pieces of glass. You always look over or under or next or in between. It's highly disturbing. Then if you have them like mine, they are at the bottom for reading, and the rest is for long distance. And what happens is when you put them on it the first time and you go like this, people, they become fat and skinny. And everything, the trees, you get used to it. It doesn't happen anymore. But at first, for 1 week, it was like that. So many varieties of material imperfections that we have to face somehow or other. And all that is due to previous karma. So these are fruits that we are facing now. But then there is karma in stock, in the heart. And that stock in the heart is what gives us these strong material desires, which is so difficult to overcome, because there is such a large stock in the heart that again and again we have an inclination towards sinful activity. So that inclination is the seed for new activities, new sinful activities. Again, we commit sinful activities, the reactions increase, and in that way the stock in the heart increases again. The stock also diminishes by suffering when a sinful reaction which is in stock fructifies, we get the reaction, then we got rid of it. But anyway, newer and newer sinful reactions are added, and in this way we're in a vicious circle. In German they call it Teufelskreis, or the devil's circle. We're locked in the devil's circle. English, vicious circle. So it's either vicious or belongs to the devil. it's not a good thing, because it just goes on. One cannot come out so easily. But the chanting of the holy name and devotional service in general have an effect on all these sinful reactions in all stages. It says that it diminishes the sinful reactions, the fruits that we are getting. We're getting token reactions. The stock is being flooded. The holy name just floods the heart, and the result is that all these sins, these seeds, cannot fructify, and they just die off eventually. So in this way, the sins become eradicated from the heart, then the inclination changes. And therefore, as we become purified, the inclination to perform sinful activities becomes diminished. So, therefore, it removes all suffering. Mind you, Rupa Goswami is explaining that suffering remains even up to the stage of bhava. So a sense of suffering will remain. Says in the stage of bhava, there is still some remainder of suffering due to previous Vaishnava apparat. So, of course, not necessarily a major apparat, but just the regular stuff, you know, a little criticism, a little, you know, blasphemy, a little bit of insults, a couple of, you know, just like, well, you know, things said in a very self-righteous way. Well, you know, they're not behaving like devotees, so, you know, it's totally justified that I call them. Beep. How difficult to glorify, to only glorify for us from the material world. How difficult. So we can see this is the most subtle form or the most subtle cause of suffering. Since in bhava it still stays. So you can understand whatever cause of suffering stays in bhava is the most subtle cause. Therefore the most subtle cause is in criticizing the Vaishnava. That's where it really begins. And then it comes down to the gross form. All the things we do that bring us so much suffering. Anyway, pure devotional service is subhada. It is all auspicious. Everything becomes touched by auspiciousness when there's devotional service in our life. That's the point. And one has to meditate on that, therefore stick it in. Like I remember, one senior Vaishnava was saying, so I read a chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, and I was thinking, yeah, but you have to assimilate the Bhagavad Gita and implement it in your life. It's not just that you read a chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. But now I think, well, if you read a chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, you're not doing bad. Yeah? Let me somehow or other read a chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. I mean, assimilating, okay, we'll talk about that. You know, we'll talk about that. That's pretty high. I mean, what can we say? Little by little, the drop wears away the stone kind of thing is maybe more realistic than to expect a big change of heart, pure devotee in 2 weeks, you know. Somehow or other, that dream never came true. The fairy tale didn't quite happen. And we thought that in Krishna consciousness we would get so quickly so much inspiration, and we felt it, we had it. And then we didn't have it anymore. That what we had, it was gone. For so long, we felt that we had this higher inspiration, and then suddenly it's gone. And then what? Then just read a chapter of the Gita. Then just do an arti to the Lord. Then just come to Vrindavan somehow or other and just take time. No rush. Always rush. Always our spiritual life is squeezed. Right? Squeeze it in between things. Always. Right? Gosh, you know, how much time do we have how much time to chant? You know, squeeze. Everything. How much time for kirtan? Squeeze. Our whole life, spiritual life is squeezed. Right? But so come to the dam, no need to squeeze. That's the idea. Why squeeze? Simply take our time and take more time. And then we have time. We take time. Yeah. It might cost more money. Who cares? We've been squeezing so much, we got all that money from all that squeezing. Yeah, you can afford. No problem. Isn't it? Like this. So, that's the dam, the nice thing. There's nothing else to do. Right? No, there's really nothing else to do. It's just devotional service. Okay. No longer dividing our time. Just be a devotee. Like last night in Prabhupada's house, Ambarish was sitting next to me. And he was sitting like this, you know. So I said, well, you can spread out a little bit. You can spread out a little bit. And I moved over to the side. He says, no, no, I can't because this is an artificial knee. There he is, you know. Mr. Ford with an artificial knee. Yeah, that's like, that's fun, isn't it? There he is. Some suffering. Anyway, then I said to him, isn't it nice to just be here? And just, so simple, just be a devotee. It's pretty nice. That's all we have to do here in Vrindavan. Just be a devotee. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what designation you have. Because sarvupadi vinir muktam tat paratvena nirmanam risikena risikesa sevanam bhakti uchate. No designation counts here. No. It doesn't count. It really doesn't count. All that counts. The holy name. Devotion to service. Worship of Krishna. And that is where strength comes. Shrutishmiti Purana di Pancharatri Vidim Vina Akantagir Arir Bhaktir Utpakare Kalpate. Srila Rupa Goswami said that devotional service must be based on the Sruti and the Smriti, on the Vedic literature, on the Puranas. Otherwise it will just become a disturbance. That's why here in this place I wanted to take some time to discuss the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. We can do many things here. We can go into the biography of Uttara and Sanatana. We can discuss how they hailed from a South Indian Brahmin family, a Karnataka family. But that their grandfather had to leave because there was some fight over land in the family. And such fights in India can be bahut garam. It's very hot. Yes. So we can speak of the birthplace of Srila Rupa Goswami in the Jessore district, and that is all auspicious. We can speak of Ramakeli, where they resided at the time of the serving the Nawab, but ultimately, the most important of all is Srila Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And Srila Prabhupada translated it, and some say summarized it, but sometimes he summarized and sometimes he expanded. And not exactly summarized. He put it in text, whereas Rupa Goswami does all verse. But basically it's there. We see here like a Bhagavatam verse being quoted. Because Rupa Goswami basically made a point and gave evidence. And lots of evidence, like series of verses. Point, four, five verses, 10 verses, 20 verses sometimes as evidence. So in this way, the next devotion is constructed. A point and many verses, evidence. It's like here, we got this point, and then you can see a devotee doesn't even desire to live in the abode of the Lord. Devotees have their mind so much engaged in my service that they're never interested in asking me for anything. Because the service of the Lord is in itself the greatest reward. See, other things we do to get rewarded. You work to get money, and then you can do so many things. Okay? So it's another reward. Right? And usually, if you behave well, you'll get ice cream. Behave very well. Like that, always looking for another reward. But with devotional service, it is the best reward there is. There is no better reward. So what to ask for? I'm doing this devotional service for what? To get my health back. Nice. Now you got your health back. Now what? Now what you want to do? Devotional service. And this health, Whether you have your health or no health, you can see in Jayapitakamara, I'm still doing so much devotional service. It's just amazing. He was not well because besides the stroke and besides everything else, he also has hepatitis C, which makes holes in the liver. Yeah? So that is giving him big problems now. And he was in Delhi in a hospital, and then he was still partaking in meetings in Tirupati on the computer. And he had someone with earphones telling them what Jayapitakamara was saying to the assembly. And he's sitting there in his bed, you can see him sitting with his earphones on, hardly able to speak, with a hook in his lip to keep it straight. What a determination to serve. Such determination to just do that service. But that's the spirit, because the service is the highest reward. What else is there? What else? What else then? So this is something new to us, something new to the mind. The mind goes, no, but this cannot be. there must be some reward. And if it's service, all right, but I only want strawberry service, or with cream service, right? I only want sweet service, I only want service I like. I don't like this service. So we are still bringing our material conditioning in, and we are dealing with devotional service as if we are choosing from chocolates, But the truth of the matter is, everything is auspicious. It's all auspicious. And it's really Krishna that makes it nice. It's Krishna that makes it special. Some devotional service is very sweet and easy and just so nice, and other devotional service is extremely austere, and it's such a struggle to do it. And we need both. Only a pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada can just endlessly struggle and be totally blissful. That's like Prabhupada, yesterday I got 5 minutes to say something, which was very nice, complaining. So it's very hard to say anything in 5 minutes of substance, so I sort of I structured it before, right? So I said, I'll tell some stories of how Prabhupada captured devotees in loving dealings and in sort of overwhelming dealings. And told the story of Satsarup Maharaj in the beginning was working and who had to work overtime at lunch, and there was he was going to miss prasadam. He was really quiet. He had to work in his lunch break. So therefore, he went. He thought, who in the temple can I ask to save a plate of prasadam? Couldn't think of anyone. So finally, the only one he could think of who was responsible enough to save prasadam was Prabhupada, Swamiji. So he called him. He said, Swamiji, today I have to work overtime. Could I ask for a favor? Yes, yes. Swamiji, could you save me a plate of prasadam? Which is nice. And then Hare Krishna. Prabhupada did. He saved him a plate of prasadam, but then. So then when he came, he asked the prasad. Prabhupada brought the plate of prasad and put it in front of him on the floor. And he was very new, so he said, on the floor? I'm not a dog. And he put it on the floor, I'm not a dog. But Prabhupada was smiling so sweet and so loving from here, please take this prasad. But he felt so sinful and so bad, for thinking critical of Prabhupada, that to counteract it, he offered his obeisances for the first time. He just bowed down to it. And that purchased him. That purchased Satsuri. It just conquered his heart. And in this way, he became a proper man. And then, there was Hans Kalman. He was just traveling in India and somehow or other came to the Bombay temple and they were talking to him and they found out he was an architect. They brought him to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, this is Hans from Holland and he is an architect. And he said, like, okay. Prabhupada said, architect. Pen, he brought pen and paper. Pen and paper brought. And Prabhupada said, can you draw a temple? Right? And can you describe what he wanted? And it was the Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan. And he started then making it. And then Prabhupada said, he looked at it, he liked it. And then Prabhupada said, tomorrow there will be initiations. I want to invite you. And then Hans asked, oh, can I come? Prabhupada said, yes, you can come. And then Hans asked, who will be initiated? Prabhupada said, you. And it's like, what can you say? And it happened that way. He just got kidnapped. So that was like, just amazing. So Prabhupada would just endear himself to people, he would just somehow or other overpower them and then bring them close. And then once they were close, that was the second part of my offering, then he would challenge them just in so many ways, right? By asking to do service, which was difficult, or challenged by his personality. You know, just by his incredible pure devotion. I mean, how challenging. And it's like just like such an example of bhakti makes everyone feel like, God, I'm so fallen. Everyone feels I'm just totally fallen. So challenging. And then his teachings, four regulated principles. Four. Challenging. 16 rounds, no less. 16. Every day, challenging, challenging, challenging. Prabhupada is amazingly challenging, you know. Like Borijan was also speaking a little bit on a similar theme, and he was mentioning something which I liked, that he was in Hong Kong, Prabhupada came, and at one point Prabhupada explained that he wanted the whole universe. Okay? He didn't say the whole world, Krishna conscious, he said the whole universe. He said, the whole universe, Krishna. So, Bhujan made that the point. There is so much service. There's enough service for everybody, right? Because the whole universe.
So, again, so challenging. Just Robert, just such a challenging personality. I wanted Chaitanya Charitamrita in 17 days. Impossible. Word in a fool's dictionary. Challenging. So Prabhupada is challenging us today, by being a member of this movement. We are being challenged, very much being challenged. Being a devotee is we're constantly being challenged, every day, to perform above our level. You take initiation, and initiation is a vow where you act higher, you're on a level of behavior higher than what you would naturally be on. That's initiation. So it's all so challenging. So Prabhupada, just the most challenging person in the entire world. Just challenging with his pure devotional service. Challenged us all. I was happily in my material life, smoking my cigarettes and doing whatever people do in the world. And then this Bhagavad Gita comes in my life. And I'm reading this Bhagavad Gita, and at every page, he's explaining that if you are sincere, then you have to surrender to Krishna. And he explains, gives the reasons also. So after some time, I was thinking, if I don't surrender to Krishna, I can never call myself sincere again. And I couldn't live with that. So he challenged in his pages. I didn't want to be a Hare Krishna. I had other ambitions in life. Yes. Wasn't exactly what I wanted to be. And even sometimes we find people who are in this movement, dressed like this, but still they're not completely sure if they really want to be a Hare Krishna. So, but it is a fact. Devotional service is fully satisfying. Fully. Savai pum so paroda no yato bhakti adhikshadeya hitikyaptiyata iyata supasidati suprasidati. So it is a pure devotional service will leave us in a state of suprasidati. So sidati means satisfied. Prasidati, prakrista rupena, completely in a full-fledged form. Prakrista rupena, satisfied. And then su, magnify that, and that's what you'll become. So something like it's more, you would have to say in English, you'd probably have to say more than completely satisfied in its full-fledged form. Something like that. Suprasidati. So it's like inconceivably satisfied. You've never been satisfied like that. Are you satisfied? Yes, I think I'm satisfied. That's not satisfied. Satisfied means just it has to come out with great love from the heart. That is satisfied. And we don't doubt that Prabhupada was satisfied. We don't doubt. So, therefore this pure devotional service is all auspicious. All auspicious because all inauspiciousness disappears. It is subhada. So, klesagni and subhada. It is also sudurlabha. It's rarely achieved. It's not so easy to get it. Somehow or other, we got it by good fortune, created by others. In the fifth chapter of the Nectar of Devotion, which is the translation of Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Radhanita Sindhu, Srila Prabhupada, he adds something. And he adds a whole passage about his own spiritual master. And he basically adds how his spiritual master has established on the basis of scripture that anyone, regardless of his position, of birth, can become purified and can become qualified to serve Krishna. So, Rupa Goswami makes the same point. Anyone. So Srila Prabhupada very strongly had that faith. Anyone. Of course. Scripture says, Yasya Lakshanam Pumsam Vanirujanya Kam Yat Anyatrapi Dishyeta Taptena Yogini Vasit. One is judged by the Lakshan, by the qualities, not by anything else. So, qualities can change by association. Qualities develop by association. Simply like that. So the soul is like the wind. And the soul, the wind that carries the fragrance of whatever it touches. Fragrance of the bed of roses. Sometimes here in the dry season, in the hot season, then you can smell that there's rain somewhere nearby. Yeah? You smell it. Yeah? It's raining. It's not coming here because Vrindavan is so dry. It's not coming, but it's raining. You smell it. It's nearby. The smell of rain. The wind carries it, but the rain doesn't come. Yeah. Other times rain does come. And then the clouds turn bluish and blackish. People call Sham. So, Prabhupada was the glorious resident of Vrindavan. Not just another resident of Vrindavan. And the Vrijbasis acknowledged it. And therefore, they honored him when he came back from the west. They honored him and they made an arch for him over the road. Yeah? There was a big program and Prabhupada was publicly honored by all the Vrijbasis. They knew what he did. No one did. No one had done. And what he's doing, no one had done. Challenges. So it is sudurlabha, it is rarely achieved. It is moksha lagutta krit. What is moksha? It makes moksha lagu. Lagu means light, lightweight, right? Some lightweight result. It's not so.
What you got? Whoa, moksha. It's a big heavy thing, moksha.
No, it's lagutta krit. The benefit, the krit, the benefit of moksha is lagutta. It is lightweight. It's nothing. So lightweight. Lagutta krit. Makes it lagu. Makes it light. Compared to what? To bhakti. This gift of bhakti. What a treasure it is. Then here, moksha is also there. Some balloon. There's moksha balloon. Oh, there it goes. Anyway, I got bhakti. I don't play with balloons anymore. Since I've grown up. Like that. We grow up. Once we have bhakti. So moksha is a good technique. I like to speak on this topic because every year I'm teaching this Nectar of Devotion in the Bhakti Shastri now for the last, I've done it for 12 years every year, so it's sort of like growing on me for the last 12 years. So nice to speak on this. Then the next point is Sandrananda Visheshatma. Sandrananda Visheshatma is talking about density, about making things dense. You know, in the beginning, a little service here, a little service there, and making it more dense. One has to make it more dense. Put a little service in between the service, and then put little service in between that. and little. So first some service. Take on some responsibility, some service. A good block of service. There you go. Take another block of service. There you go. So those are the big boulders that go into the vacuum of the heart. Put in there. Then put some little service in between. Small service.
I offer a flower.
Small service, but it's the same thing. Put it in. Put service in between the service. And more service in between the service. And then in between that service, just a little bit of service. Something. Until it just becomes like solid service. You know, it's like, oh, just service everywhere. Just filled with service, everywhere, all the time. Then Maya can find no space. No. There's no more cracks. Nothing. It's all filled. Very dense. Sandranandri says something. But this is actually what is our objective, and this is what we're doing. Over the years, this is what we're doing. The same thing. In the beginning it's new, it's all discovery. You know? We're beginning now. Yes, first time in Terkadamba, and then second time, and then yeah, I've been there so many times. Okay, great. What are we doing there? I've seen the place. Now I've been there, I've seen that place. Good. Then when you've seen it, now just be there and hear and chant and get some mercy. Just get some mercy. In that way, thicker, make everything more condensed, and thicker and richer. And in that way, the quality increases. Avyakta kalatvam, in bhav, one cannot waste a moment. Every moment is used in the service of Krishna. Avyakta kalatvam. So this Sandra Nanda Visheshatma is a very advanced. But this is what we need to do, I mean, if we want to go on, because otherwise we're going to dry up after some time. It's all going to be a routine. What are we going to do now? I've been chanting 16 rounds for a long time. Finish your rounds? Yeah, finish them. Great. I didn't finish them. So like this, we are gradually bringing in more. And that's what we need. You know, we are not in ecstasy, Bhagavatam says, because the heart is steel framed due to offenses. So then let us just offer respect to all. Let us just appreciate like also Baba here is a great devotee. We'll find it. Me too. He has horns, I also. But don't think he's an ordinary person. Even in Yavat, the man who came and asked for money, not an ordinary person. Because he's fixed, he's in that place. He's just there. And it's not easy to be in one place for a long time. Mind gets restless. Change, other place, and life is the same, always. The same little life in the same cubbyhole is kind of becoming. And the mind goes, I've got to get out of this place. But these people that they have deep, deep attachment. Don't underestimate. Even the pandas who ask for money, don't think that they're ordinary people at all. Don't compare. They're not. Yes, they want money. But they're also deep in their attachment to Krishna. You know? Deeper than we. Let us see how deep our attachment is to the Dharma. Oh, Vrindavan, Vrindavan. Okay, let's see when the malaria hits. You know, how many run away, right? Typhoid, never to be seen again, you know? So many came. Said, I'm going to stay in my whole life. Really want to move to Vrindavan. Boom, sick. Those who want to stay in Vrindavan, unconditionally they stay, no matter what. Anyway, this Sandranandha Visheshatma is something very, very significant. We must make our devotional service more and more thick and fill every moment with more and more Seva. That is Rupa Goswami. And then, the final point, the final characteristic of pure devotional service is Sri Krishna Akarsani. The Sri Krishna Akarsani is... It means, Sri means all the opulences. Sri means the goddess of fortune. Krishna is unlimited goddesses of fortune. Lakshmi Sahasra Sapa Sambram Sevima. Not one. Sri also means the ultimate goddess of fortune, Srimati Radharani, Sriji, in Varsana, the deity is called Sriji. So, she who has all spiritual opulences. Sri Krishna, therefore with Sri. Not alone. Not Krishna Akarsani. Sri Krishna Akarsani. Sri Krishna Akarsani. Krishna alone with Srimati Radharani means Krishna in his world, in his pastimes. Not Krishna come to my world. Okay, finally with all my devotional service I've attracted Krishna. And now I have got Krishna in my pocket. And now Krishna will fulfill all my desires. Great. No. Now I will fulfill all Krishna's desires. And my only desire is Krishna will allow me. And that attracts Krishna. So we have to build that up. It's not going to just happen one day. It's not just going to happen. We have to actually consciously start making our spiritual life more dense. And when, you know, I had a dream once in Leipzig. And you know that, I'll tell Sadhguruji because he is from Leipzig, you know that canal, you know, that goes as we go on the walk, right, we pass that canal. So it's that, I'm dreaming of that canal. And there's a lot of current in the canal, you know. And at one point, there is a green snake in the canal, a big one, swimming up against the current. And there's some ducks swimming, and he just eats up all the ducks. One after the other, just boom, 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 he eats the ducks, you know? So I'm looking at the snake, whoa, you know? This is like an intense snake, right? He just ate all the ducks, right? And then he crawls on the land, so I start to run. I start to run. It comes sort of in my direction, you know? I go, get out of there, you know? I just run away. And then I go right up in the air. And I wake up. this dream mean? What am I to make of this dream? A green snake that eats ducks and then comes in my direction, and I got saved. I flew up in the air. So no, that wasn't it. No. The snake was lust. Was lust. And I was too light. Too light. See, when we're too light, we can't deal with lust. When we're not heavy enough with devotional service, then how can we deal with lust? Heavy we will be when this Sandranamba Vishesha mind is there. When we fill everything, more and more. Not like, you know, by half killing ourselves. That's the mode of passion. I must do more service, more service. He said something. Remember, he says that
love. I feel in between all the services,
like,
more.
I'm like, doctor, I don't have anymore. But anyway, I just with myself, more service, more service. Not like that. Oh. My goodness. Well, sometimes a bit crucial. Yeah. See with elegance how Prabhupada served. How nicely he lived. Like a gentleman. Yeah? Ate like a gentleman and everything, you know, done properly, not like Prabhupada's like something. Drink water while running, you know. To the airport with a flat, you know. Going towards the next plane. But this Sandra Vishesha Maharaj should be our meditation. Then there will be Sri Krishna Karsan. So for that we came. For that we went out today to thicken our spiritual life so we get some weight. And when we have more spiritual weight, lust will be nothing. It won't even come our way. You know? May eat some little ducks, but it doesn't come our way. Oh. And will not because why would we? Why would we bother with the material energy, including the body? Why would we bother to try and enjoy the material energy? Don't you know the material energy is a crocodile? We know that Ganga, when Ganga comes in the world, you know, she is depicted as a goddess seated on a crocodile, and I like it very much. That, you know, and Ganga is not affected by this crocodile. But you go sit and ride on a crocodile, and no thanks, you know. All the demigods, they have an animal as their vehicle. Ganga is riding a crocodile. I'd rather have a horse, you know, it's like, if possible, right? You know? Yeah, it's like, I mean, a giraffe, okay, you know? But, yeah, you know, K.K. Swami comes riding in on this giraffe. That's all right. But riding on a crocodile, I don't think so. I don't think so. Not my style. Because I'm not sure if crocodiles, I'm not sure how far they can turn their neck. I am not quite sure. They're kind of like, they bend in all kinds of funny ways. I wouldn't trust a croc, you know, before you know it, suddenly these big teeth. So, no thanks. A crocodile, even, you know, a lion, you take a little cup, and you feed that lion a little cup. It becomes tame like anything. You can keep a lion tamed. It's possible. But a tame crocodile, forget it. Doesn't exist. You know, you tame the croc, and you bring up the croc, and you give it the bottle when it's small, with love, right? And it will have you for lunch one day. That's it. It starts at the bottle and in the end will eat you. That's a croc. You can't It's a treacherous being, a croc. Right? Totally treacherous. So the material energy, that's the material energy. So who thinks that we're gonna squeeze enjoyment out of the material energy? Just as you're squeezing it out, it suddenly turns around, it turns to a nightmare. Easily happening again and again. Therefore, just service, more service. And then there is service directly with Krishna. See? There's service, we use the material energy for Krishna. And then there's service, hearing and chanting is directly with Krishna. So we need to every day do some of that direct service. Serving the deity, some direct service, holy name, some direct service, reading Bhagavatam, directly with Krishna. Every day. And then we can again move the material energy from Krishna, okay? Bulldozer from Krishna, build a house for Krishna, manage the thing for Krishna, offer Krishna, Krishna, battle it out with the material energies. Cook a feast for Krishna, sharp knives, watch out. Oops. No, some time directly with Krishna. Hearing, chanting, like that. So that we're doing here. Yeah. But we can, if there's questions, we can answer out of it. Yeah.
Swamiji, you mentioned about Sri Krishna. Krishna is actually not alone, that he is a Sri. What does Sri Radhe mean? What does Sri indicate in Radhe?
Sri means all the opulences. So when we say Sri Radhe, means that she has all the opulences. But Sri alone is also referring to Radhe, to Lakshmi, because she has all these opulences. So when we say Sri Radhe, then we are emphasizing that she is the goddess of fortune who has all those opulences. And Radhe means the greatest worship. But in the case of Sri Krishna, it's meaning he's not alone. That means he is like always absorbed in his pastime. And one approaches Krishna in his world, and we serve him there. That's why deity worship is very helpful, because we learn how to serve Krishna in his world, instead of praying, oh, please fix my teeth with gold.
Could you say something about Seva Aparat and how it is when someone is getting paid for devotional service?
Nam Aparat, Seva Aparat. Seva Aparat, Seva Aparat are offenses which are accidentally made in the course of serving the deity. And forgetting things, forgetting to do it properly. None of that seva aparat. If we consciously neglect, then it becomes nam aparat. If we consciously commit seva aparat, it actually comes to nam aparat. Nam aparat causes anarthas in the heart, and seva aparat just gives us reactions in the course of our service. It doesn't contaminate the heart. So we get some suffering in the course of our service, but the heart is not contaminated by it. But Nama Bharat actually contaminates the heart. This, the explanation of this is found in Madhurya Kadambini by Vishnu Chakravarti. So that's the essential difference between the two.
one contaminates the heart, the other doesn't. So by Nama Purat you create new contaminations in the heart.
One is getting paid for devotional service.
Yeah?
When one is getting paid for devotional service.
Well, that depends. It depends. If one is a grihastha, then he needs money to, because otherwise the children start crying too much. And then the wife gets really upset. So that doesn't work very well for domestic peace. So for that reason, money is required. And so then if one is paid some sort of minimal amount, or some sort of amount for maintaining himself, that doesn't make it fruitive. Because the more money you start getting, the more fruitive it may become. And so personally, I never wanted a salary. In ISKCON, I never took it like that. Asked for prasadam and for clothes and for the saris of my former wife. And we arranged the money somehow or other from somewhere else. Her mother would give something, score something, because it felt awkward. So it's a sensitive matter, taking money, because it can sort of spoil our motivation, and make it a little fruit. But what can you do? You have to live. You have rent to pay. So minimal is acceptable. Because it still counts as the difference.
You said reactions come even in the bhava state?
Some reactions remain, some previous reactions, some influence of previous reactions.
Is it something like, I'm just trying to understand, when you come into devotion life, obviously you still have your conditioning and it takes long time to get to the
pure
right. state.
And something remains up to the stage of bhava.
And also when you are dealing with another devotee, not knowingly but unknowingly or because of your conditioning, you make offenses,
yeah.
That gets counted exactly as same.
Yes, it gets counted. Even if your own wife is a devotee, even that counts. That's the toughest thing.
How do you practically deal in those situations where you want to maintain the high standard, but as you said,
practice. Abhyasi yogi yuktena. Practice makes perfect. So practice. Practice being a Vaishnava. Practice being respectful. Practice glorifying Vaishnavas. By practicing, you can. Yeah, it's... But Prabhupada is sometimes a little fiery, right? Like also mentioned in my Vyasa Puja, or in the thing offering yesterday then, that Prabhupada was challenging everyone, and he also challenged his godbrothers in a Vyasa Puja offering of 61, where, 1961, where he's basically, is after the disappearance of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, so... Basically asking his godbrothers, it's like, well, what are we doing? Just ringing bells, you know? The temple was, and in a fiery way, calling everyone for preaching, and basically saying that they're just sitting in there. So this is, is a form of Buddhism.
The Buddha did that. But sometimes for the sake of preaching. But at the end of his life, Prabhupada said, in the course of our service, we may have unwillingly offended some Vaishnavas. He's begged for forgiveness. Prabhupada asked for forgiveness at the end of his life. Casey offended someone. The Narayan Maharaj was there. And he said, no, no, you didn't offend me.
Yeah. About the Vaishnava apparatus. I find something is difficult for me to understand. That's what's a Vaishnava? I have an idea what a Vaishnava is.
Chaitanya Charitamrita is very clear.
Yes, no, what I want to mention is, okay, you also told me here are the most low class people, and is everybody here walking, who's walking with the tea like a Vaishnava? Because when I come to the temple...
I'll give you the definition and then you apply it. Yes. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asked this question by the residents of Kulina Gram who came and visited him in Puri.
Yes.
And three times this question was asked.
Okay.
The first year the question was asked, they first asked Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what is the highest goal in life?
Yes.
So then Mahaprabhu said, it is Vaishnav Sevana and Nirantar Krishna Nama Sankirtan. Service to the Vaishnavas and without end chanting Hare Krishna. Then Satyaraj Khan asked the questions. He said, then who is a Vaishnava? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, anyone who chants the holy name once is a Vaishnava. That was the first year. Second year, same questions, what's the highest goal of life, Vaishnav Sevana, Nirantar Krishna Nama Sankirtan, who is a Vaishnava?
Sorry.
No problem, take your time, relax.
I don't know where to think.
It's anyway.
I will throw my bag.
It can also ring, it doesn't.
It's
not a very bad thing.
Don't call me back.
Okay, so the first year, anyone who chants Hare Krishna once. Second year again, what's the goal of life? Vaishnava Sevana, Krishna Nama Sankirtan. Then who's a Vaishnava? A Vaishnava is one who chants all the time. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says the second time. The third year, when Satyaraj Khan asked the question, what's the goal of life? Vaishnava Sevana, Nirantar Krishna Nama Sankirtan. Who's a Vaishnava? A Vaishnava is one who just by seeing him, others become Vaishnavas. So, Mahaprabhu described three levels of Vaishnavas there. Yeah.
Okay.
And for the three levels of Vaishnava, Kanista Madhyam Uttam, so the Kanista, one time chanting, already a Vaishnava. Do all respect of a Vaishnava. Madhyam chants all the time. Very advanced. Uttam is so absorbed. He gives others Krishna consciousness. So that's a Vaishnava. So all these people here in the Dham, they're all exalted Vaishnavas. The pilgrims that come to the Dhams are not ordinary persons. Nobody's ordinary. Everybody is here because of some very special karma or some special mercy. So we are here because of special mercy, Prabhupada's special mercy. Otherwise, what's our business here? So that's why we come. It's very nice that when we come into Vrindavan, we come through the Prabhupada gate. You should remember, we came through the Prabhupada gate, right? Through the gate of His mercy. We entered. These people here, they didn't come through the Prabhupada gate. They come here by their own punya, by their own attachment to Krishna, their own service. They don't Deva Prabhupada said, don't mix intimately with the Vrijbasis. They're different than you. They have a different karma. They have previous attachment, purvarak, and that's why they came to the Prabhupada gate. So therefore we always respect the Vrijbasis and realize they're not ordinary persons. That doesn't mean that we let every rickshawalas cheat us or and so on, or take over our life. We still, when the rickshawalas the other day, you asked about rickshawalas getting intimate or trying to get like familiar. No, don't allow. It's just none of your business. Drive, please. Yeah. Don't bother me. That's such a question. Because you are in a higher level of at least social position.
But if that Riksha is chanting, he is a Vaishnava.
He's anyway a Vaishnava. In Vrindavan, everyone is chanting. They'll call Radhe.
Oh, yes, the whole day. Yes.
Instead of the bell, the Riksha was called
Radhe. Yes.
So we remember that. Still, we don't get too close to the Riksha was, but they're for devotees. We always respect them.
Okay.
Awesome. Like in, we used to have a barber here in Vrindavan, Prem Chand was his name. And Prem Chand, he had, he was shaving our heads and also offering some massage to the head, and he was quite good. And Prem Chand, he had personally shaved Prabhupada. Mm-hmm. And he would tell you many times that he had shaved Prabhupada's head. Okay, so we were like, he has shaved Prabhupada's head. Like, I haven't shaved. Okay, Prem Chand. Because otherwise a barber is considered very low class. He's a paka brahmana. He is paka. But like baba. Just like low class. Prem is better than a brahmana. Is he shaped Prabhupada's head?
Okay, say something about Terkadamba. It's the place we are now.
You may say something in the beginning.
No. Oh, that's, yes. You started with that, yes.
That's what it is.
Yeah. That's but it's the place where Radharani and Krishna met.
I said that Krishna was here in the tree, calling the dog. The Baba will tell you more. I'm sure he knows more than that.
Asking.
Huh? What?
It's funny when you think.
He's nice.
Baba.
Yeah, he's nice. We should give him a little time. Yeah.
Maj, you were mentioning about like how in our daily life we excuse everything,
How we what?
We excuse everything.
Squeeze.
Yeah, squeeze. Excuse everything.
Just speak loud because you speak so soft, I cannot hear you.
It's fine. When we are in dham, we have no other business, we can just chant. But how do we actually implement these things in our daily life?
Yeah.
When we have...
We squeeze devotional service between other devotional services.
So if you can't finish your round before 7 o'clock, it's difficult to even catch up before going to bed after, The whole day is busy. If you're not having...
Sleepless.
But then you're excusing the sleep.
That's good. get rid of it.
Then you sleep and then you catch up with this. Then you catch up on the Bhagavad class. Then you catch up with the sleep in the japa. I mean,
you have to get used to it. It takes some time. It's the time to sleep and the time to change. With time it gets better. Yeah.
from you. It says the one holy name can describe more truth than what you can ever commit.
Yeah, there's a verse like that. I told you that story that, like, somehow or other, that was one verse I could not remember. Every time, I always forgot this verse, you know? And then I was in Bombay, and once I took a taxi, and the taxi driver quoted the verse, the whole thing, you know? And there I was, a Swami defeated by a taxi driver. So that helped. So now, I think I can do the verse. I'm gonna try. Nam nam yavati shakti papa nirharane hare tavat kartu avapnuti patakam pataki naraha. I did it. Thanks to the taxi driver.
Special kunz, my verge. We're sitting
Maybe
here.
Does somebody know something about the kunz?
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
I heard it's just new.
It's new.
You put away some trees, cut some trees, and put the kunz there.
Regarding the four kinds of liberation, I always assume that it's referring to Vaikuntha, but thinking about it, I mean, it could mean also Golok, because you know you live on the same planet with the Lord, you have the same form as the Lord, the same opulences like
yeah,
that.
Even Golok, you know, rather than Golok or here, because
yes. So is it that in the beginning? In the neophyte stage, you desire to go back to Godhead.
Well, that's something Prabhupada, you know, like Prabhupada specifically emphasizes that.
Yeah.
Like this back to Godhead. It's something that we don't find so much in the writings of the Acharyas, but Prabhupada somehow or other put the emphasis there, understanding that we are neophytes and that we don't even have a desire to go back to Godhead. See, in India previously, everyone had a desire for moksha, something at least, right? You know, it's sort of a common thing in India to desire moksha. But, you know, we did like nothing, you know. I mean, heaven, you know? I mean, what am I supposed to do there? Right? Back to God, you know? I mean, so Prabhupada first sort of emphasized that. First start having a desire to go back to God. You
know? Okay.
And cultivate that desire. And then, you know, you'll see. If you come to that stage, Janmani, Janmanisvare, Bhagavad Bhakti, Rai, Tadita, birth after birth, that is much your emotions. Then Krishna decides. So what do? We sort of get ready to leave slowly. I mean, then we would be back by 2, I think.
Yeah.
And we just... Please keep